You know, the 4th of July is coming up here, and so there's some tracks out on the table in the center of the foyer there, and this one is called The Inspiring Story Behind the Star-Spangled Banner, and it gives a little bit of historical information and presentation of the gospel, so there's a little bit of something to catch somebody's interest there in something that's worthwhile to read, you know, not just some fluffy attention-getter, but... It's the story of the Star-Spangled Banner, so that might get someone's attention. So you're welcome to take those and give them out. Pass them out to somebody. Open your Bible to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. We've just finished looking at five different instances of conflict that Jesus faced. Conflict with the religious leaders, and we might begin to wonder, did Jesus have any following at all? Well, yes, he did. He had a great following. Many people followed Jesus. And we begin to read about that as we continue on in chapter 3. We'll start reading in verse 7. And we'll consider verses 7 through 12 tonight. Mark 3, 7 through 12. And so let's begin by reading those verses together. Follow along as I read. Mark chapter 3, verse 7. But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and from beyond Jordan, and they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude. When they had heard what great things he did, came unto him. And he spake to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should throng him. For he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him, as many as had plagues. And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. And he straitly charged them that they should not make him known. Towards the end of the time that I was in college and seminary, I got a special offer from Amazon.com. Who's heard of Amazon.com? Okay. Yeah, that's a place online where you can buy books mainly. That's what it was started for, I think, but really anything. And so Amazon.com had this thing called Amazon Prime. You've probably heard of that. If you're a member of that, you can get free two-day shipping on your books. And so what they do, if you're a student, they give you an Amazon Prime membership for free. And so I had that. I could buy all the books I wanted, get them in 2 days for free. And so it was really great. But that was only because I had an email address that was educational. And as soon as I finished school, I lost my .edu email address that went along with being a student. And after a while, there went my special offer of free shipping for my books. And it was no longer available to me. Maybe you have experienced something similar. You get something in the mail, and it looks like a really good deal. And you go to the store to use the coupon. You find out, oh, you don't fit the qualifications. You're not able to participate in that offer. But unlike a special offer like that, Jesus' ministry is for all people. Jesus' ministry is not just for a limited group of people. You know, we saw earlier in Mark that Jesus did resist the popularity that he received. And that's true, he did. But at the same time, when the multitudes came to him, he spoke to them. And he ministered to them. He healed their diseases. He cast out their demons. And I think that there is a lesson here for us, for all people. And that is that all people must seek Jesus. All people must seek Jesus. Not just a limited select few must seek him, but all people must come to him. All people should seek him. I think that's why Mark records for us, why the Holy Spirit has set this section before us, showing how Jesus ministered to the multitudes. It shows us that all people need to come to Jesus. And we can also notice that from the contrast that is here in Mark chapter 3. In the first six verses, we read about how the religious leaders are coming to him and accusing him. They're waiting to have an opportunity to accuse him. And then in the next section, we have the multitude coming to him, and he's freely ministering to them and healing them. And that's a good thing. All people must seek Jesus. And I think this passage shows us, and all people, how they must seek Jesus. I want us to see two ways that people must seek Jesus, that all people must seek Jesus. And we see the first way in verses 7 and 8, and that is to seek Jesus no matter your background. Seek Jesus in spite of your background. And we learn about the backgrounds of the multitude as Mark lists for us the places from which they came here. But there's two basic categories of this multitude. There are people that came from Jewish regions to see Jesus, and there were people that came from non-Jewish regions to see Jesus. We have the Jewish regions listed first there in verse 7. It says, "And a great multitude from Galilee followed him." Galilee was the place where Jesus was ministering there. That's the region where Capernaum was, right there on the Sea of Galilee. And that's where Jesus was. And people from that region were coming to Jesus in multitudes. This was the northern part of Israel. And then we have the very southern part of Israel that's mentioned next in verse 7, from Judea. That's the region or the province that is in the south. You have Galilee in the north and Samaria, and then Judea in the south. And people were coming from Judea up to where Jesus was in Galilee to seek him. And some of those people traveled a great distance. You know, just from Judea to Galilee, you're talking like 90 miles around that amount. And, you know, there's no interstate to get you from Jerusalem to Capernaum. You know, they're going by who knows what, donkey, I don't know, camel. And so this is a major trip to go and see Jesus. And then in verse 8, another Jewish region here, from Jerusalem. So you have a specific city within Judea that's mentioned there. From Jerusalem, people are coming to see Jesus. And so you have your Jewish regions, and then there's the non-Jewish regions that are mentioned here. and we could go back with that and start with Galilee, because even in Galilee, we know that there were people who were not Jews. And that was because when the Assyrians came to take away the Israelites into captivity, they replaced their own people in that region of Galilee. And so you have people that are not Jews that are still there, even at the time of Jesus. And there are people that are not Jews that are surely coming here. You probably heard the term Galilee of the Gentiles. And there were many Gentiles in Galilee, in the northern part of Galilee. But continuing on in verse 8, we notice that there were people from Idumea. This is the Greek name for Edom. And Edom is the country to the south of Israel. And those are people that are descendants of Esau. So they're coming way up to Galilee to see Jesus. And also in verse 8, it says, from beyond Jordan. And that is the region that is to the east of the Jordan River. You might have heard it called Perea. And so people are coming across to Galilee to see Jesus. And that's a non-Jewish region, what's modern-day Jordan. People coming from that region as well. And then the last place that's listed, they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude. And another place outside Jewish territory. This is to the far north of Israel, along the coast of the Mediterranean. People are coming down to Galilee to see Jesus. So there's distant places, there's nearby places, and there's Jewish people coming, there's non-Jewish people coming, and they're all coming to see Jesus. If we were to go to Matthew's account of this, this instance here, he would show us that this was a fulfillment of prophecy, that there would be Jews and Gentiles coming to see Jesus here. As Matthew records it in Matthew 12, 15 through 21, he shows it's a fulfillment of Isaiah 42. He shows how Jesus was ministering compassionately to these people. And not only compassionately, but he was ministering to everybody, including Gentiles. Matthew 12, 20 quotes Isaiah 11, "And in his name shall the Gentiles trust." So Jesus' ministry was designed by God for Jews and Gentiles. All people must seek Jesus, no matter your background. Whether you have a religious background, whether you have a non-religious background, it doesn't matter. Everyone has to come to Jesus. And maybe you have, maybe you've tried to talk with people about God before, and they say, you know, "Well, I didn't grow up in a religious home. You know, I didn't go to church. My parents never went to church, and so that's a reason why they don't want to talk to you about the gospel." What's our response to that? It doesn't matter. Jesus came for all people, whether or not you have a religious background. Whether you are a Gentile or not, all people must come to Jesus. It doesn't make a difference. I know that most of you here today, probably most all of you, have a religious background. And, you know, maybe even your religious background is this church, and you've grown up in this church. And, you know, that's not an excuse for you not to come to Jesus. Just because your parents are religious or because you've always come to Morrow Bible Church and, you know, you're okay. No, that's not true. It doesn't matter if you've grown up in church, if your parents brought you the first Sunday you were alive. You still need to come to Jesus. You still need to seek Him, just like this multitude did. People with a religious background, people that may not have had a religious background, they were all coming to Jesus. So seek Jesus in spite of your background, no matter your background. And that's the first way that we see that people must seek Jesus. But there's another way, I think, that we can see here that shows us how all people must seek Jesus, and that is to seek Jesus with the right motives. Seek Jesus with the right motives. And as we read on about this multitude here in verse 9, there's a description of the urgency that they had to seek Jesus. They were coming to Him, this huge crowd, and it was so great a crowd, they were so urgent to see Him that Jesus has to get His disciples to secure this small ship or small boat that will wait on Him in case He needs to step out into the boat to continue teaching or continue His ministry or just to get away. So they're urgently coming to Him, and they are pressing upon Him in verse 10, it says. And we can view that as a good thing in one sense. All people must come to Jesus urgently, but we have to question why they were coming to Jesus. Why was it that they were coming to Jesus? You know, as I read this, I was trying to think of a situation where, you know, maybe we could relate to a crowd like this. And I don't know if any of you have ever gotten up early on the Friday after Thanksgiving and you've headed out to Walmart at 4 a.m. and they're selling, I don't know what, but everybody wants one, and they open the doors and they're pressing on the doors to get in and get one of those. And, you know, there's people that have been trampled. You know, you hear reports people trampled during the Black Friday shopping spree. And, you know, what are their motives? I don't think they're right, always right motives. Maybe if you're going to give it to someone else, I don't know. But what was it that motivated this multitude? Was it just curiosity? Was it selfishness? Did they just want Jesus to meet a need that they have? I think that was part of it. But what should have been their motive to see Jesus? It should have been to humbly submit to him as their Lord. They should have humbly submitted to him. And then as we read on about what Jesus did, we read about why they came. They came because he was healing many, and also because he was casting out demons, unclean spirits in verse 11. You can understand why that would have drawn a crowd, I'm sure. But notice what Mark tells us about the demons here in verse 11. Look at verse 11. The unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, "Thou art the Son of God." And he straitly charged them that they should not make him known. So we're told about the confession of these demons. And, you know, the Holy Spirit kind of describes the unclean spirit along with the person who is possessed by it when they fall down before Jesus and they say, "You are the Son of God. Thou art the Son of God." And that's an accurate statement. Jesus is the Son of God, and that's a description of his deity. He is God. To say that he is the Son of God is to say that he's God. But we have to notice that Jesus rebukes them. He does not want that confession from the demon. And I think that tells us something about how we need to seek Jesus. The confession of the demon was impure. It was a confession motivated by fear. It was a confession that was purely factual. These demons were not confessing Jesus as their Lord so that they would be saved. They knew what was coming for them. And Jesus rebukes them because he wants that confession to come from a sincere, believing heart. So all people need to seek Jesus for the right motives and need to humbly submit to Jesus, not just coming to him to have our own problems fixed, but to humbly recognize that we are sinners and that we need him to save us. And along with that, that needs to be motivated by sincere faith, not like the demons, because Jesus rebukes them. We need to come to Jesus with sincere faith, recognizing he truly is the Son of God, and we are placing our dependence for our salvation on him. There's an article from February 11th, 1962, in a popular magazine that recorded the story of a priest in Russia who boosted his Sunday school attendance by handing out candy to the children. And one of the most faithful boys was diligent to recite his memory verses. And he would be given his reward of candy and go out to the fields to eat his snack. And after a while, the priest liked this boy and convinced him to go to the church school. And so the boy went to the church school, and the priest really worked with him to memorize the Gospels. And he memorized the four Gospels. And he even won a special prize for learning all four Gospels by heart and reciting them nonstop in church. I hope the priest would have been horrified if he knew what happened to the boy later in his life. Nikita Khrushchev later declared that he believed God to be non-existent because his Russian astronauts, had not seen him when they went to space. He supported Joseph Stalin's purges, political purges. You know, he may have learned the four Gospels. He may have memorized the four Gospels. But there was something wrong with his motives. And we can see that from looking at his life. So motives, right motives, are very important when it comes to seeking Jesus. All people need to seek Jesus. We need to seek Jesus in spite of our background. If it's a religious background, that doesn't matter. You still need to seek Jesus. You still need to come to Jesus in faith. Place your trust on Him. All people need to seek Jesus for the right motives. We need to seek Jesus to come to Him and submit to Him, humbly recognizing that we are sinners and that we need His saving grace. And we need to come and submit to Him in sincere faith, truly depending upon Him for our salvation. Not just knowing about Jesus, not just going through the motions of getting saved, but placing your soul's dependence upon Jesus. All people need to seek Jesus. May the Lord help us to do that. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the way that it speaks to us through Your Spirit. And we pray that You would help each of us in this room to truly think about our relationship with Jesus. Oh Lord, we know that all people need to come to You. All people need to come to You in sincere faith, truly recognizing who You are. We pray that each one of us would do that. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.